Shall I just pray? Father, thank you for those wonderful words. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would illumine Jesus Christ in this place tonight, that we might see clearly and see well. We ask it in his name. Amen. Amen. Well, turn with me to John chapter 13. And my text this evening is one verse. If then I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Children, we can hear them. The children imitate, don't they? It's lovely hearing the cry of life, isn't it? So many chapels don't have little ones. But children copy people, don't they? My little one is at the stage at the minute where I'll ask him to do something, and he'll copy exactly the words that I'm saying. And you've got to start being careful what you say now, haven't you? But children dress up as well, don't they? My nieces enjoy dressing up like Bluey. This is the recent thing. Or princesses. For me as a child, I would dress up like Indiana Jones. I know, it's an uncanny likeness. And it's two heroes of mine that I would imitate. For Indiana Jones, that adventure archaeologist, and my grandfather, which I've mentioned before, I would play church on a Sunday afternoon. Esther would be the deacon, the organist, the congregation. Thank you, Esther. You were a good sister. And I was, of course, the minister. Or, to be more correct, I was copying my grandfather because I loved him. He was my hero. Why did I imitate him? Well, yes, I loved him, but I knew him, didn't I? I knew him well. And this morning we considered the remarkable scene whereby the Lord of Glory, isn't it? Think about it again now. The Lord of Glory showed us that he became the servant of sinners. The servant of sinners. Took our shame and our sorrow. And now is Lord of all, exalted on the right hand of the Father. So let's return in our mind's eye again to that upper room, because the teacher hasn't finished, has he? He hasn't finished. Let us sit at the feet of the teacher, like the disciples. The first application of that wonderful act, that dramatic act, was what we looked at this morning, wasn't it? Christ's atoning, cleansing death. And then we touched on the second application, didn't we? Initiated by Peter's overzealous outburst, Jesus teaches them that act is once. It's a fundamental cleansing which can never be repeated. Once you're saved, you're saved. But the third application here that we see very clearly in these verses, especially if you've got your Bibles with you, between verses 12 and 17, is this application that Jesus of Nazareth teaches us lessons of humility. I hope you've been, I don't just pick favorite hymns, you know. I do work hard to find the correct hymn. That last one there, let holy charity mine outward vesture be, clothing, old word for clothing, and lowliness become mine inner clothing, through lowliness of heart, which takes the humbler part, and o'er its own shortcomings weeps with loathing. John 13 is definitely on Bianco de Siena's mind. All right? What he did, those applications must not be confused. All right? We move from Christ as Savior this morning to Christ as example this evening. Very simply, friends, Christ as an example this evening. What he did, though, and what we do now, having been saved, are preciously linked, aren't they? Preciously linked. Look at the text again. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another. The first point, the servant teacher. The servant teacher. Notice sermons today, don't they, often fall into the category of lectures or ethical, intellectual studies. Sometimes you hear sermons like that. Moral advice by another guru. I am no guru here this evening. I am simply a messenger of Jesus Christ. Sadly, we hear of young men, don't we, on social media imitating quite unsavory characters online. You may have heard of the Tate brothers. Those of you who are older may not have, but some of you definitely have heard of the Tate brothers. If you're under 30, you definitely have heard of them. They are known to glorify misogyny, to glorify extreme political views. They tell boys to imitate them in their muscular cells, and they expect a high table. They expect devotion. They are riddled, aren't they, with self-love and self-image, really. It's the complete antithesis, the complete opposite to what we're seeing in John chapter 13. Not to make any political statements, but it's quite interesting that currently in the United Kingdom, someone might have to correct me, but I believe that about 80% of boys under 25 think that number 10 would be better ruled by a dictator or a strong man. Need I even say even a fascist? That's not what we find here in this leadership. Look again. Look at verse 5. After that, he poured water into a basin. The servant teacher. On the other side, the church teaches morality. And it just focuses at times in the past on this third application. This is what this text is about. Just copy Jesus in his helping one another. No, that's not what's here, just here either. In our text, Jesus connects what we do to what he did. Notice, it is modeled by him. And to be frank, the power to do it is only found in him. To be true servants, as it were. Look at verse 13 now. Verse 13, you call me teacher and Lord, and you are right. And then verse 14, he repeats the fact, doesn't he, that they belong to him. Look at verse 14. If I then, and he swaps it around, Lord and teacher in the English here, your Lord and teacher have washed your feet. If I then, your Lord, if I'm your Lord, if I'm your teacher, the rabbi, all right, you should do it. Peter, who had a real front row seat here, didn't he, would later write in 1 Peter 2:21, for to this you were called. I think John 13's flowing into his mind now. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Do you see what Peter's doing there? He's linking the cross, the whole act, the whole servant, the whole suffering servant, and he links it to what we ought to do now, following his steps. He's not ashamed to connect Christ's suffering to our behavior, if you like. The death of the cross, after all, isn't it, friends? It's the ultimate act of service. The death of the cross was where the reality of the foot washing is displayed, isn't it? The death of the cross. Oh, my friends, Jesus' great work should be the great stimulus for us to serve in little way compared to that. It's no accident that the great evangelical prophet Isaiah is able to call the one he sees coming the suffering, what? Servant. The suffering servant. The hymn writers, especially in Wales, can't get over this. John Elias, one of my favourite characters, he suffered pain and death. Notice how he links Philippians here. When on the hill brought low, when on the hill brought low, the Messiah was one who would serve in his suffering, you see? He bore the sin of many. Listen to the hymn writer, this is my real favourite, William Pantycelyn. The enormous load of human guilt was on my Saviour laid. With woes as with, and notice the language he uses, as with a garment he for sinners was arrayed. Again, think of Jesus naked on that cross, but burdened, clothed with my sin and my sorrow. Oh, my friends, for to this you are called. Peter, can you understand now? Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. The Greek that Peter uses there, now I'm no Greek scholar like Andy, but I understand the word. Hypogrammos. This you were called, leaving us an example. That word there, hypogrammos, is where we get the word grammar from. And I don't know if in primary school, when you were learning to write, the teacher would put dots on the page. Do you remember? Nathan. And then I, with my pencil, would follow the dots. And sometimes the teacher would have to help me, because I wasn't very good, believe it or not, with writing at the beginning, and I would never go right to the end of the page. I don't know if it's some sort of OCD or something, I liked a neat column. Well, listen to Sinclair Ferguson. Jesus not only saved you, friends, here tonight, but he wrote a book on lifestyle. Copy it. Write your story following the lines that Jesus wrote his story. It's a lovely, lovely quote. I think this episode, like I said this morning, had a huge effect on Peter, right? Huge effect on Peter. He would later write, wouldn't he? Clothe yourselves with what? Do you remember? With humility toward one another. Yeah. I can't help in that as he wrote those words, that he remembered looking into the eyes of the servant teacher. The servant teacher. What a servant. Here we learn to serve and give and rejoicing, self-deny. Here we gather love to live. Here we gather faith to die. Elizabeth Charles was singing there about the cross. Here we learn to serve and give. What a servant. What a teacher. But secondly, not only do we have the servant teacher, but we have the servant towel, don't we? Where's my towel? That's the title. Where's my towel? The servant's towel. Look at the text. Verse 13. You call me teacher and Lord, and so you say well, for so I am. I have, verse 15, I have given you an example that you also should do. Notice this next few words. Just as I have done to you. Now, I believe in the original, that says just as, almost copying to the letter, as it were, as I did. It's an interesting phrase. Not only do we have an example in John 13 and in Christ, but we are to follow it, friends, exactly. Exactly. It's hard, isn't it? John, you see, wants us to return again and again to this upper room. You might say, oh, Wynne preached on this not long ago. I know he did. I was here. John wants us to return here. I believe the Lord wants us to return to this room again and again and again. In the old days, I can see older ministers here. Young ministers would spend time, wouldn't they, with old ministers in their training. I suppose this still happens here, you know, informally. When I was training to be a minister, I was in the elders' meeting, and I was told, you are to watch, learn, and listen. Observe. So I was to observe, and that was a great, great thing to do, to watch, to learn, to listen. Let's go back to the room. We're going back now to the beginning. Look at verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, he knew who he was. Remember that, friends? He knew who he was. As Jesus was aware of his unique status, do you know who you are tonight? This is not what I'm going to say, but are you a Christian here tonight? Because don't bother copying someone that you don't know. You can't. You see, how stupid of me as a child would be to copy Lloyd-Jones. I didn't know him. I feel like I do, but I didn't know him, like some of you. Have you been brought up in a liberal chapel? Maybe some of you are listening online who this is all very new. Maybe you think that do your best, being a member, to do good works, to don the towel is what I need to do. No, you can only copy someone if you know them. That was an aside. Do you know who you are, Christian, here tonight? Christian now. Remember who you are. You belong to the King. The impulse to serve, remember, as I said this morning, is at the heart of our God. The impulse to serve, that act of going down, Philippians 2, is at the very heart of who our God is. So it should also be at the very heart of who we are, you see? A Christian who is united to Christ is in their essence someone who has died to self. Does it look like that? I feel ashamed even preaching these sobering words. Notice verse 4. Look at verse 4. After all that great statement from John, which mirrors John 1, he says, Jesus rose from supper. He rose from supper knowing who he is. None of them would do it. Would you have done it? Would I have done it? As an aside, we're voting, aren't we, to add to the eldership. I'll remind you of Titus 1:7. He must not be arrogant or one who pleases or looks to himself. I'm looking for the ones who are donning the towel. Now, that's not always in action. Overseer in Titus is episkopos, one who guards, supervises, and helps. He is a ruler, yes. But remember, the Bible has a lot to say about servants ruling. I think of Samuel again. Do you remember that scene in Bethlehem? When Samuel the prophet comes to sacrifice to Jesse, into the house of Jesse. And he chooses based on what he sees. Whereas God rebukes him, doesn't he? Friends, I'm interested in foot washers. And that's not always the first thing you see. Where was David? He was on the hill. Yet he was a man after God's own heart. Servant rulers. Ah, yes, you say, Eliab served well. Eliab, that brother, was a soldier in Saul's army. He looked good. He was tall. He was saying the right thing, doing the right thing. Yet why was he serving? How was he serving? Notice how God directs Samuel's gaze inside. When the Israelites fought Amalek all those years ago in the wilderness, do you remember? I wonder who would have got the attention at the end of the battle. Was it, I hope you don't mind me going through the Bible like this, should be familiar to us. And my point is that the people getting the attention in that battle was probably not the boys holding up the arm of Moses, was it? It was the soldiers on the front line. Think about that when we come to choose to look to the Lord to provide us with elders. But notice, back to our text, verse 4, he arose, didn't he? There is action here. Jesus Christ does not just sit there speaking the talk. There is action here. He arose. Are we willing, friends, to wait on one another? Serve one another, Jesus says. Minister to one another. Don't just wait for Nathan Monday to come knocking or to invite you over or Wyn Hughes. Are we ministering to one another? We are all ministers in that sense, aren't we? Oh, friends, we can all do that. It's even in the lowest things. One of my favorite films is Ben-Hur. Have you seen Ben-Hur? It was on Saturday. It usually would come on around Easter time, wouldn't it? On telly when we were little. And the story follows a prince of Judea who is really humbled, isn't he? He goes from the heights of Jewish society. He ends up in chains. He's dragged through the Jewish villages. And he's on his way to a galley. Those awful boats where they'd be chained and they'd have to row for their Roman masters. And one of the most powerful scenes in the film, he's struggling, he's chained, he's weeping. Do you know what I'm going to say? Oh, you've forgotten, have you? You don't see the Lord's face. So the writers are very, very sensitive in those days. You see hands coming into the screen. Do you remember? With a cup of water. You know, that's one of my favorite verses. You know, the writer in the film, he's you'll have to forgive him. It's not the Bible. But he's combining the parable of the Good Samaritan. He's combining that lovely text in Matthew 10 about the cup of cold water. And in my eye, he presents faithfully the servant Savior, the one who gives water to the one who's suffering, the one who's struggling, the one who's tired here tonight. That's what Jesus is like. Why can't we be like Jesus? You know, it's not hard, is it? It is hard in many ways, but at its essence, it's not hard. We see kind hands in the Bible, don't we? We see kind hands washing the feet of these disciples, releasing them from that grime. We see kind hands giving sight to the blind, don't we? We see kind hands writing in the ground before they're going to stone that woman. And we see kind hands, don't we, stretched out wide. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And what does he look like? He looks like a man with outstretched hands serving you. So why can't we then? If he has done this for us, friends, if he has done that for me, if he has done this, how can we not, isn't it? Isn't it a lovely, lovely text? My friends, it goes even further. Look at this. I could go on here. Verse 4, he arose from supper. We looked at this morning, laying aside his garments. If you want to know more about that, look at this morning. Verse 5, after that, he poured water into a basin Notice the detail here the apostle gives. He really goes into detail. And the gospel has really slowed down here, hasn't it? But notice what he does then. And to wipe them with a towel, he washes the disciples' feet, verse 5, and to wipe them. And to wipe them. Why does he say that? Wash and wipe. I don't think J.C. Ryle is going too far here. Like a perfect servant, our Lord wiped the feet as well as washed them. He does it well. He does it well. He's speaking to his disciples here. You do like I'm doing. There's that character in Bleak House, isn't there? Oh, sorry for the literary thing again. You'll be used to this soon. Mrs. Jellyby, do you remember her? Oh, she's annoying. She wants to send money to Africa. She wants to help people in Africa. She wants to help people over there. She wants to put her thumb on Apple Pay and send money to that, as long as I don't have to get involved. She's happy to do that, but around her feet are her own children and her own neighbors, and they're starving. Wow. Oh, she would have got an OBE maybe today. But meanwhile, she ignores the needs of those around her. Look, you know, this text is very intimate. Jesus, looking around, he washes and wipes their feet. Foot washing involves intimacy. When was the last time you really got on your knees and scrubbed those feet well? When was the last time I did that? You know, I'm preaching to myself. You know, verse 5, there was a washing and there was a wiping. Oh, friends, this is intimate. This is hard work. Because you remember what that verse says? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. To come to an end now, are there dirty feet that you don't really want to wash, Heath Church? You know, there is an elephant in the room in this text, isn't there? Judas got his feet washed. Judas looked into the eyes of our Savior after this was the point that he left. Remember, friends, just think about this now. Take this in. The Lord of glory, the seed of the woman, was willing to wash the heel, as Sinclair Ferguson puts it, that was lifted up to crush him. Isn't that remarkable, isn't it? Look at verse 18. I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. There's something big going on here, isn't there? He's, of course, referring to Genesis 3:15. Back in that garden, when God served Adam and Eve by clothing them, where God promised them that someone was coming. And here again, we see the seed of the serpent trying to crush the seed of the woman. And what does the seed of the woman do in response? He washes his feet. Don't get that anywhere else. It's Judas who rejects the grace and reacts against it. Don't reject Jesus tonight, friends. Don't reject Jesus. To conclude, where's my towel? Where's my towel? I want us all to leave this room tonight asking, where's my towel? If you forget all the rest of the sermon, remember this morning that Jesus is a great Savior. You need to be right with him before you leave this room tonight. That's why a minister is here. We do not actually enjoy the oratory. We do not want to be here in that sense, but we have to be here because it's vital that you should come to know Jesus Christ as the only way, the only truth, the only life. Because no one else, no other name under heaven is going to wash your feet. No other name can wash you, cleanse you in that blood. No other name is a real example either. Because this man is perfect. I want to imitate you as you imitate him. Let's do that. It means knowing who you are. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, isn't it? It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. And this is the bit, and gave himself up for me. Second, it means getting up from our high tables. Is anyone here who's too good to don the towel? Jesus may be teaching you a lesson. Are you too good to do the small task? Is that job too low for you? Do you know who I am? I've been trained. I've got a PhD. Woohoo. Do you know who I am? You know, I can. These are the words of the flesh that come to our minds. Do you know who I am related to? No, no. Look at Christ getting up from the place of hosting and getting down on his knees. And it means washing, wiping, doing it zealously, even those dirty feet, which don't look very nice. I always feel sorry for podiatrists, don't you? Some feet look awful, don't they? What an example we have in Jesus. But I finish now. You can only copy someone if you know them. Being baptized, I say it again, as a baby or an adult, means nothing if you do not love and do not serve and do not trust Jesus Christ. Where's my towel? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Well, this is a great hymn. It's a missionary hymn, isn't it? 771. Facing a task unfinished. And this is why I picked this. It drives us to our knees. There's another play on words there, isn't there? A need that undiminished rebukes our slothful ease. We who rejoice to know thee, renew before thy throne the solemn pledge we owe thee to go and make thee known. Let's sing this wonderful, wonderful hymn.
Our soft voice.
now may the blessing of, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of you now and forevermore. And the people say, Amen.